one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball. It reminds us of all that once was good.
The only church that truly feeds the soul day in, day out is the Church of Baseball.
White Sox Weekly, presented by Miller Lite,
the official weekly talk show covering all things White Sox baseball.
The latest news and views from players,
coaches, and direct from the front office.
White Sox Weekly, on the proud new home for Chicago White Sox baseball. WLS.
Welcome in to White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890 and the Sox Radio Network. I'm Connor McKnight. We are hanging out with you. It's a special, segmented all-star edition of White Sox Weekly today. We're going to do a half an hour today, take you up into the pregame show as the White Sox are getting set to take on the Braves in Game 2 today. Weird ball game last night. Uncharacteristic and unfortunate for the White Sox. Hopefully they can bounce right back today with Jose Quintana going against Julio Teheran this afternoon. Cool stat, fun fact, I suppose. Trivia question that you can ask your friends. Ask and answer about the two starters this afternoon. If you pay very close attention to the big leagues, you may know what it is. Otherwise, we'll tell you in just a couple of minutes. And then again on the pregame show in case you miss it. But we are going to do a half an hour today. And then we'll hang out for an extended post-game show after the game today. We'll do an hour and a half on the back end of the ball game. Plenty of things for you in that extended hour and a half of White Sox Weekly after the game, and hopefully it's a White Sox winner today. I had a special conversation with Todd Frazier. He and I hung out in the dugout and talked about home runs, dingers, taters, all those kind of things. He and I decided the best thing to call a home run, or his favorite thing to call a home run anyway. Talked to Robin Ventura, a little look back at the unofficial first half of the Major League season for the White Sox, and kind of set things up going forward to kind of a state of the organization, state of the 25-man roster, I suppose, conversation with Robin Ventura. A good one, too. Some things that I hadn't heard him necessarily say, some things we hadn't gotten to before in White Sox Weekly's past that I think you'll find interesting after the ballgame today. We'll also hear from Chris Sale, who's making his fifth straight All-Star appearance. He talked with some reporters yesterday and was, you know, when he talks, he gets pretty reflective about things, and he's a serious dude when it comes to baseball. And I think maybe when in regards to the All-Star selection, he was as serious as usual. You know, he understands that it is that it's an honor to be there, that what it means to represent this team and this city, what it means to potentially start the ball game for the American League, all that kind of stuff. But I think you can also see and hear from him. You'll hear from him after the ballgame today. You'll hear from him the excitement and the joy, I guess, of the whole thing. That it's going to be a little bit of a family vacation for the Sales. And he gets to get his sister there and gets to take his son and all that kind of stuff. And it'll be a real good time for him. And I think it'll be hopefully real fun for White Sox fans to see him pitch in that ballgame as well. Hopefully Ned Yost gives him the first inning and the start. He has is more than likely deserved that. Could be Danny Salazar, too, with the Indians. But, you know, we'll see. We'll find that out on Monday. We will also in this the other thing we're going to do in the second half of White Sox Weekly today, after the ballgame today, we're going to talk to Julio Viñas, the Charlotte Knights manager down there in AAA. Had a conversation with him. I believe that was yesterday, recorded it, and we're going to bring it back for you this afternoon about the state of the AAA situation, who's been up and who's been down. Julio and I talked a lot about Tim Anderson and his movement through the minors. Julio was there in AA as well a couple of years ago, so he has seen Tim through a number of his developmental phases. Good conversation there. We talked about Justin Morneau and his rehab starts a little bit, and a couple of the other minor league names that have caught White Sox fans' attention throughout the course of this 2016 season. Not necessarily guys who are on the cusp or who could possibly make a start here or there or come up, but guys who maybe for in the 2017 or maybe even the 2018 season could feature as fairly prominent roles. We talked about some of those guys as well. So if you are a Sox fan who likes following the farm system stuff, or if you would like to follow it more but just can't find the time, we've got it for you on White Sox Weekly coming up after the ballgame for about an hour and a half. In this half hour, before we start the pregame show, we will also talk with WLS's Rachel Brady. She's heading out to cover the Home Run Derby and the All-Star Game for WLS. She is going to be on top of the whole thing and covering it like white on rice the whole way, and going to be doing a great job of it. So she's going to be out in San Diego doing the whole Home Run Derby thing, doing the All-Star Game, and we'll tell you how you can follow her trip and working vacation out there in San Diego every step of the way on social media. WLS is your home for White Sox coverage, and by God, we're going to bring you as much as you can possibly handle. As for today, a little bit of news for the White Sox, and it's somewhat unfortunate, but not disastrous by any stretch of the imagination. Hopefully it's just a quick DL stint for Carlos Rodon. He's going to spend 15 days on the DL, and will miss his next start, but hopefully only one for the White Sox. He slipped and fell on the dugout stairs last night. Robin did not see it happen, but those who did described it as, unfortunately, less than graceful for Carlos. Kind of one of those things. Weird stuff happens throughout the course of a season, and this one bit the White Sox a little bit. It is his pitching wrist. X-rays came back okay. And the thought process is that he's going to miss his next start, obviously, and the Sox will have to call up a spot starter for what will likely be the Tuesday start against the Mariners. Things could change depending on, you know, it's still two ball games here against the Braves at U.S. Cellular Field before we close out the first half. But the expectation is that probably Tuesday's start against the Mariners is going to be one that's filled by someone coming up from the minor leagues, more than likely. No thoughts on exactly who that's going to be yet, but I took a stab at it and speculated wildly on a column on the website. Go to WLSAM.com and go to the old Connor's column section of the White Sox coverage, and you can read who I think might make an interesting spot start at that point in the season and what you might do with it afterward. We'll talk more about it in the second half of White Sox Weekly on the other side of the ballgame this afternoon, but you can go to the website, WLSAM.com, and take a gander at my wild speculation and see if you agree with me, see if you don't agree with me, and then we can talk about it in the second half of White Sox Weekly. Although you can call now if you want to get involved in the White Sox conversation. We're always open to you. 312-591-8900 is the phone number here on White Sox Weekly. You can text as well. 68683 is the text number. You do have to put WLSAM in the text for us to be able to see it. At C1 McKnight is the Twitter handle. And if you're scrambling around trying to find the column, thank you so much. And also, that probably means that you're likely my mother, because she's the one who reads all this stuff. At C1 McKnight is where I tweeted out the link, so you can go find it there and read the latest on the White Sox. A White Sox group outing is the perfect way to entertain clients, promote teamwork, or boost morale. Companies, schools, churches, and sports teams can all enjoy special group benefits when they reserve 20 or more seats. The larger your group, the larger your discount. So to purchase, visit whitesox.com/group. 312-599-8900 is the phone number here on White Sox Weekly. A little bit of news for the Braves, too. We talked about it some in the post-game show yesterday. Julio Teheran is going to make his start for the Braves. Now, that was undecided as of yesterday afternoon. Teheran is having a very good season and will pitch for the National League at the All-Star Game. Win-loss record is 3-7, but as we talked about last night, when you're on a club that is 30-57 the way the Braves are, starting pitcher's win-loss record means almost less than normal. 2.72 ERA, he has been very good. The strikeouts have been good. And Teheran, who is a controllable asset as a major league starter and has been pitching very well and on a team that could choose to do the whole rebuild thing that has been fairly fashionable in the National League of late. I suppose in the American League for a couple of teams as well. Could be a guy that's on the move here as we approach the deadline. He'd be one of the top-end starters available to clubs as you're looking to improve a rotation. A lot of teams at this point are. 112 and two-thirds innings so far for Julio. He has started 17 games. We mentioned the win-loss record of 3-7. That's really neither here nor there. 105 strikeouts in 112 innings. The whip of .932, which is very good. You keep that under one, and that's some solid work. His strikeouts are at a career high, strikeouts per nine. 8.4 strikeouts per nine. He had his last highest mark for the Braves, 8.2 season back in 2013. So Teran is a tough customer and going to be pitching for the Braves this afternoon against the White Sox. Jose Quintana was fantastic in his last outing. Gave up one home run. I believe that was George Springer who got him in a leadoff shot in Houston. And then the rest of the way was superb. Seven innings of one-run ball, just the solo shot to George Springer to lead off that ball game, and then sat everybody else down. You could celebrate the holidays in the middle of summer with Christmas in July on Friday, July 22nd. Purchase a specially priced game ticket and receive a voucher for a White Sox Santa hat. Everybody needs one of those. Stay for the post-game fireworks there on July 22nd. The fireworks will be set to Christmas music. So that's kind of cool. July 22nd. To purchase this ticket package, visit WhiteSox.com/Xmas. That's WhiteSox.com/Xmas to hang out with us here at the ballpark on July 22nd for Christmas in July. Coming up on White Sox Weekly, we'll talk to Rachel Brady. She's headed out to San Diego to cover the Home Run Derby and the All-Star Break. We will let you know how to follow her on social media and what the adventure is going to be like. You can be right there with Todd Frazier as he hits dingers in the Home Run Derby, or Chris Sale as he strikes out NL All-Stars up and down the lineup as he pitches Tuesday night for the American League. That's all coming up next. You've got White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890.
White Sox baseball. Experience it here. WLS AM 890.
Welcome back to White Sox Weekly, special split edition, a day-night doubleheader of White Sox Weekly, if you will, here on WLS AM 890. I'm Connor McKnight. Got the half hour leading up to the pregame show today. We'll take you straight up to the 12:30 news and then start the pregame show at 12:35 like we always do. We are in, if you're headed out to the ballgame this afternoon, we're in the Xfinity Zone for the pregame show. So you can come by and say hey to the executive producer of White Sox Baseball, Dave Zaslavsky. You can say hello to Rachel Brady, our reporter here for White Sox Baseball, or you can yell at me if you'd like. We're going to be down at the Xfinity Zone. That's right in back of section 109 and right 109 and 110. I'm looking at both of them right now. Yeah, 109 and 110. So you can come find us there and say hello. And it's possible that we have things for you, but I can't promise anything. With the lineup this afternoon, White Sox and Braves, just kind of want to run you down that real quickly. Tim Anderson and Adam Eaton in their typical spots, shortstop and right field, first and second in the lineup. Jose Abreu, Melky Cabrera, typical spots for them as well, first and left. Frazier and Lurie are your five and six hitters, rather, third base and second base. Gianna Navarro does the catching. Avisail Garcia is going to DH today, and J.B. Shuck is in center field for the White Sox, as per the usual. You know, a couple of things I just wanted to touch on here before we get to Rachel Brady, who's going to head out to San Diego and cover the All-Star Game and the Home Run Derby. With where this team is at right now and a chance to take two against the Braves, a chance to be four games over 500 heading into the All-Star break, I think that having been very much a tale of two halves in this first half of the Major League season, if you were to say that you're four games over 500, which the White Sox can be, to say that that Indians ball club on the other side of the pond here has been on such a good streak and kind of made some space for themselves in the AL Central, to say that you're right there in the wild card race with a number of, and as we saw it earlier in the season, all the prognosticators and projectionists we're taking a look at the National League and saying, boy, that's really, if you can't predict the National League, maybe you're in the wrong line of work. In the American League, however, a lot of parity, a lot of teams that, could be right there. And that makes it difficult for clubs as they, I'm thinking of clubs like the Yankees, who are around and hanging in there, an older ball club with plenty of financial decisions, or plenty of contracts, I should say, that it are going to be financial decisions at some point, as well as baseball decisions. And a bullpen like they have with the no-run DMC thing with Dellin Betances and Andrew Miller and Aroldis Chapman, they could deal one of those three guys and kind of improve themselves and not necessarily be in the, you know, the tear-down, sell-off mode and still kind of compete in the second half of the season. The White Sox are in the mode I think that they wanted to be in at this point in the year. You know, looking at July, what is it going to be, 10th tomorrow, looking at July 10th, I think, you know, this is about where they wanted to be approach-wise, if that makes any sense. Yeah, it changes the calculus some when you look at a guy like Austin Jackson who, you know, hopefully comes back for you at the end of this month. And yes, it changes the calculus some that Carlos Rodon is going to miss a start here at the second half of the season, and you're not going to have all the gears, you know, meshing and operating out of the break. And sure, it's not been the Todd Frazier season that I think everybody had expected, but there are some pretty clear positives for a guy like Todd, for a guy like Austin that you've seen throughout the first 2 months of the season, especially defensively, and even late. You know, you look at the last 2 weeks that he had with the White Sox, hitting the ball hard, not necessarily finding gaps, but hitting the ball hard, and usually when those exit velocity numbers go up, the hits tend to follow at some point. So, you know, in a lot of ways, you can map out a road to success for the White Sox that perhaps with an external addition, with a trade here somewhere at the deadline, whether that's a bullpen arm or a bat that can help you out in some platoon at spots, this is about where they'd hoped to be. It just kind of seems different. We'll talk to Robin Ventura about this in the second half of White Sox Weekly, but it seems a little bit different given the hot start that they had. I think that's pretty obvious. And really, that's becoming a, I don't know, a storyline for a lot of teams around baseball, whether that's the top of the heap in the National League or whether that's a ball club like the Rangers who had scuffled first and then taken off to take over the best record in baseball. I think that's how you see this game kind of shaking out some, and injuries are going to play to that. And really, when you look at the scope of the league, maybe even a team like the Mets who, my goodness, are having injuries up and down the rotation right now, the White Sox are getting away with or in an advantage, I should say, for being as healthy as they are. And certainly that's even underlined some if Carlos Rodon's is just a 15-day one start kind of thing. All right, so All-Star game coming up in just a couple of days. Rachel Brady, our very own Rachel Brady here at WLS, is going to be out there in San Diego. Hi, Rachel. Thanks for coming on the show.
Hello, Connor. What a pleasure this is.
Oh, it's a joy. It's a joy to have you on the show. Second time that you've been on White Sox Weekly.
Yes. Hashtag blessed.
Hashtag blessed. B-L-E-S-T. So heading out to the All-Star game, I imagine you are excited to do it. It'll be your first. I've never covered an All-Star game. What kind of sense have you gotten from guys like Todd Frazier, from guys like Chris Sale, about the excitement that they have going out there and doing this? I mean, both guys have gone to do what they're going to do before, but it seems like they're pretty jacked for it regardless.
Yeah, you know, just being here every day with you, we're mm-hmm. in the clubhouse, we're interviewing them. You know, they give the rhetorical, answer.
A little boilerplate sometimes.
Yeah, and this is where you see them light up.
Yeah.
I mean, really, it's the Little Leaguer, they go back to thinking of all those memories, and I think it's just a family affair, as you were saying earlier. And they seem super excited. I mean, you saw Todd yesterday.
Yes.
It was a new person. I mean, he was singing. We could hear him screaming. I mean, he was so excited.
Yeah.
So I think that having the advantage of going out there and being able to travel and being able to witness it and witnessing it and experiencing this season with these guys,
yeah.
I think that's what makes it special for me. As a reporter or a journalist.
When you've seen, you've seen Chris Sale throughout this his first nine starts and mm-hmm. how dominant he was. And yeah, it's been a little bit of a hiccup here in the last three, four starts. Well, I guess there's been a start or two in the last six that have been kind of this up and down sort of thing. He seems as and you talked to him in the clubhouse last night, he seems to understand that this happens now and again. And
when he's human.
Yeah, he's human, and he knows how to come back to where he was.
And what I like about Chris is he's always accountable.
Yeah.
You know, he's straightforward. He's just like, check this off. It happened. I'm moving forward. It's not going to affect me. It's almost like it never happened.
I kind of look to the All-Star game, too, and he's talked about it. He's going to let it loose out there and just kind of, you know, let the flame.
Let him eat it, I think he said.
Yeah, and he's got the stuff to be able to do it. I think that could be, you know, because the approach for him has been different this year than it has in years past, letting it get out there and just going back to throwing hard might be another little reset button in this 4 days, too.
Yeah, and I think right now is good timing for the team, just for everyone having this break, and then you combine it with everything else going on. I think things are looking up.
So how can people follow you on Twitter, on the Instagram, on the Facebook Live and everything as you're heading out to the Derby on Monday and the All-Star Game on Tuesday? Give us the lowdown.
Okay, at Rachel Brady 611. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram, or go to WLS, our Facebook page. I'm going to be doing Facebook Live, behind-the-scenes action, answering any of your questions. We have a huge press conference Monday morning.
Yeah.
And then they're going to be having practice before BP. So that is your time at work to get on your computer, join me on Facebook Live, and I'll keep you updated with some tweets here and there saying, hey, what time works for everyone? I mean, I'm pretty open. I like to, you know, have a conversation with everyone and just say, hey, this is your show. Yeah. What can I do for you?
At Rachel Brady 611. She'll be the first one tweeting out Monday whether Chris Sale is going to be the starter for the American League or not. Rachel, thanks for hanging out.
Thank you.
We got to go. Music's about to run out. Pre-game show starts in a couple of minutes. We got the news coming up next. White Sox and Braves in Game 2 on a beautiful Saturday afternoon here at U.S. Cellular Field. Keep it right here. White Sox baseball's all afternoon long on WLS AM 890.
You've been listening to White Sox Weekly, presented by Miller Lite, the official weekly talk show covering all things White Sox baseball. Listen every week for White Sox Weekly, and listen to White Sox baseball right here. WLS AM 890.
The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball. It reminds us of all that once was good.
The only church that truly feeds the soul day in, day out. Church of Baseball.
Now, White Sox Weekly, presented by Miller Lite, the official weekly talk show covering all things White Sox baseball. The latest news and views from players, coaches, and direct from the front office. White Sox Weekly, on the proud new home for Chicago White Sox baseball. WLS.
So we've got you for an extended portion of White Sox Weekly this afternoon. What better way to make your way home from the ballpark, and then when you get back to cut the grass and uncork your favorite beverage or whatever, hang out with us on White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890. I'm Connor McKnight, and like I said, we got you for the next hour and a half or so. A couple of things to clean up as some beat writers and guys in the clubhouse have assembled some information about the situation with David Robertson. Just want to get this to you before I let you know exactly what our plan is on the show for the rest of the afternoon and how tomorrow is going to work for the White Sox and Braves as well. It seems as though Robertson has a strain kind of high in the left leg and doesn't expect to pitch again until after the All-Star break. Doesn't seem all that worrisome. Likely will not pitch tomorrow, although the things could improve. But sounds like the idea is you just give him the day, and he's got four over the All-Star break to make sure things rest up and get better and do rehab and all that good stuff. The relievers, everybody in the bullpen did know that Robertson was not going to be available to him today. So, and that's what, I mean, really, that's what I like to hear the most, or at least is, I don't know, comforting to me, I suppose. Following along on Twitter, and I love you all on Twitter, I do, and I love White Sox Twitter, because it's a lot of smart fans watching a ball game. One of the things that I think we as a baseball, boy, this sounds more corporate than I ever wanted it to, but as a baseball consumership do, is try and guess along with relievers and bullpen usage, because I think it's the one thing where, you know, whether you've played the game at a youth level, high school level, whether you if you manage a fantasy team, or if you play the show on a video game system or whatever, you've done something like this before, and we can kind of, you can lean back and guess along. You don't have to say, well, I can't hit that pitch, but he should, or anything like that. It's just a press button kind of thing. So I think, you know, we get to a point where being able to second guess, third guess, or first guess in a lot of situations, what managers do with their relievers becomes second nature to a lot of baseball fans. I get that a manager's usage of his bullpen, especially in high leverage situations, is an absolutely valid way to evaluate what kind of a job a manager's doing. The problem I have with doing it in-game is that there is almost all, and honestly, this is something that if I may subject to you, this is something that I've learned in a much larger scope doing this job over the last 3 months. I knew that there would be things over the course of a season, injuries and whatnot, or usage marks where, you know, guys have just thrown too many days prior and they aren't available to you today, that pop up that we don't know, that guys in uniform know, that Robin knows, that Coop knows, that even the relievers know too. And while evaluating a manager's usage of the bullpen is crucial to evaluating that manager's ability in games and in seasons, you can't really evaluate it until you know the whole picture. And so often, we don't. Even when it comes to an end-of-season kind of review, you're not going to go through these games and know, all right, well, Robertson wasn't available to him on this game, this game, this game, so then you retroactively go back and no, but Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams and, you know, all those guys understand the process that goes into these things, and conversations are had, you know, throughout different points of the season just to make sure that, you know, everybody is operating with as much information as the on-field managers have in this game. So, you know, I get that, you know, you can kind of freak out a little bit and it gets weird to not see your closer in a closer situation. But sometimes we don't know the whole story. And today, after the ball game, we did get the entire story. So figured we relay it to you. Robertson was unavailable today out of the bullpen in a save situation. Nate Jones closes the door. He's got his third career save in all in this season, two earlier this year and one today too. So there you go, Nate Jones in to close the door. So White Sox Weekly this afternoon has a plan, and it is a good one, mostly because our executive producer Dave Zaslowski and Jonathan Bregman, our Born engineer, put the plan together, and I had nothing to do with it. So here's how we're scripting it out for you throughout the rest of the afternoon. We are going to have a conversation with Todd Frazier. Sat down with him in the dugout prior to this game. Wanted to just get the sense of, you know, how jacked he is to head out for the home run derby. Talk about what it was like to have been there before, knowing that he's going to go back to it, you know, with the experience of hitting in a home run derby once before. It was a cool conversation, and Todd really kind of, I don't know, he kind of let loose a little bit. So it's fun to listen to it there. We sat down in the dugout as well with Robin Ventura and did kind of a review of the first half of the season in a way, but also looked at a couple of guys who have been streaking a little bit lately, guys like Todd Frazier and guys like Jose Abreu. I think I mentioned the numbers a couple of times to you, whether it was on the pregame show earlier this afternoon or in the post here. In his last nine games coming to this, Todd Frazier's hitting .324. He's got four home runs now, although the average is up just a little bit from the .324 mark. 2-for-4 today. The two-run homer and the RBI double as well in the second and third off Julio Teheran. And the numbers for Jose Abreu have been very encouraging in the month of June as well. And I think this is mostly a guess here, a speculation, month of June into July, I should say, that the slugging percentage for Jose that sits at .502 right now heading into the ballgame today and will likely have gone down a point or two, I suppose, with Jose going 1-for-4 with the single. So, you know, let's call it, you know, .500. He slugged .504 last season, and while by a lot of measures and by his own conversation, last season was a matter of adjusting and readjusting to the way the league was pitching him, and I think that's still continued somewhat in the first month and a half this year. Seeing him being able to drive the ball a little bit for home runs and doubles so far, since the 1st of June, has been pretty encouraging. And if the adjustment continues, I suppose, at the rate that it has, you're going a long way to getting Jose Abreu that that you expected into this season, the Jose Abreu that you've seen over the last 2 years. And if the White Sox can kind of fortify the middle of that offense, makes a lot of decisions easier as to what you're trying to go get, perhaps, at the deadline. Not to say that just because they're operating at a higher level, the organization would not look at a bat that could perhaps benefit one of the positions in a platoon situation, or a guy who, you know, does something a little bit better than a couple other options, a specific thing, whether that's a hitting a handedness or being able to cover a fastball from a lefty, or maybe be able to cover the outer half and right, that kind of idea. A guy that is more a fit than necessarily a quote-unquote impact kind of player, or whether it's being able to devote more resources to the bullpen and being able to shore that up some too. Zach Putnam continues his throwing program, but there is really no timetable that's been shared as far as when the Sox can expect him to, I suppose, amp it back up, because he is throwing some, but I suppose getting on the mound would be the next big step for Putnam in his rehab. So you might need an arm to either A, make an impact in that bullpen, and whether that's shopping for one of the top tier guys on the market, or whether it's a guy who can benefit you situationally and float you a little bit until Putt's able to get back in there, if that's a scenario the White Sox can see themselves in too. Being able to look at that 3-4 spot, that 3-5 spot, depending on how Robin wants to order Jose and Melky and Todd throughout the second half of the year, would definitely help you know what you got in a big situation. And also, I think this about the second half, you're going to see the returns, hopefully at some point. Well, the return of Austin Jackson and the introduction of Justin Morneau. Now, I don't know, and probably neither does Justin, and the front office likely has an idea of what Morneau can accomplish and what he's able to give this offense some. Certainly, it's a little better advantage against the right-hander. Certainly, it's a little bit more lineup flexibility. In although he only plays first base and DH, that enables, because he also does play first base, that enables you to get Jose off his feet a little bit. And I think you've seen it happen again today and again last night. Beat up by the inside pitch, plunked a couple of times on the elbow. And granted, one was just a 79-mile-an-hour rolling breaking ball last night. It still hurts. I promise you that. As big and as strong as Jose is, the seams of that baseball still bite a little bit. And every now and again, it'll be good to get him as much rest as you can. Certainly, you still want him in the batter's box. And yes, that does expose him to more baseballs inside and on the triceps. But, you know, you get him off his feet. He doesn't have to throw it around so much, his big body. And hopefully that enables him to rest up some in the second half of the year. So, Austin Jackson and Justin Morneau as potential reinforcements are definite plus marks for this team as it nears the trade deadline. But that doesn't, those two guys and the improved play of Frazier and Abreu, I don't think precludes you from doing anything at the deadline and making those players available. And certainly that'll be another question that we'll probably address in maybe the next White Sox Weekly when we get back from the break, or perhaps the last one into the trade deadline. The players that will or could or maybe even won't be out there at the deadline are going to be big factors with such a small talent base free agent-wise coming into next season. Makes you wonder who's actually going to be out there for sale and for acquisition at the deadline, which this year is August 1st and not July 31st. If I'm not mistaken, July 31st falls on a Sunday this year, and the league wanted to move it back, the trade deadline that is, to Monday, August 1st. So for the first time in a very long time, the trade deadline will go into August 1st as opposed to the end of July. We'll take a break real quick here. 312-591-8900 is the phone number here on White Sox Weekly. You got time to call in if you want and hang out on White Sox Weekly. Coming up, though, in the program, we're going to talk to Todd Frazier. We're going to talk to Robin Ventura. We're going to hear from Chris Sale as he's headed to his fifth consecutive All-Star game. And we've got a conversation with AAA manager Julio Viñas, who, yeah, I thought it'd be cool to talk to him. We talked a little bit about Justin Morneau and what his program, what his rehab is looking like. He was just shifted to Birmingham, by the way, to get a couple extra games as the All-Star break is coming around. And to talk about Tim Anderson and the development of the shortstop in this organization that has really keyed things at the top of the lineup for the White Sox in his major league debut, in his rookie season. Things have gone swimmingly for Tim Anderson, and Julio Viñas has seen him on a number of stops throughout the minor league. So that's the plan this afternoon. You can hang out with us by calling 312-591-8900. We're going to step to a break real quick. We'll be right back with more White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890.
Tomorrow,
Sox versus Braves. First pitch at 1:10.
On your home for White Sox baseball, WLS AM 890.
Welcome back to White Sox Weekly, a special all-star edition of it here on WLS AM 890. I'm Connor McKnight. Sox fans, you can join us as the White Sox take on the Detroit Tigers Thursday, July 21st at 7:10 p.m. The first 10,000 fans will receive a free Chris Sale t-shirt presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Bring your business home to Bedford Park and win big. Purchase your tickets today by visiting WhiteSox.com or calling 866-SOX-GAME. That's a pretty good gift. And if you have a mother like I do who has a birthday right about then, I won't tell you how old it is. Doesn't matter. She's turning like 25 for the sixth or seventh time, something like that. But that would be a great birthday present for a mother who has a very important birthday coming up in the latter part of July, a Chris Sale t-shirt presented by the Village of Bedford Park. White Sox Weekly here with you. We'll bring you to the news at 5 o'clock, and then we'll start our extravaganza of White Sox Weekly. Todd Frazier, Robin Ventura, Julio Viñas, the AAA manager in Charlotte, and Chris Sale all going to feature on the program. We'll head out to the phone lines now, though, in Northwest Indiana. It's Dimitri. Hey, Dimitri, what's on your mind, my man?
Yeah, I just want to say two things. I love Carlos Quintana, and I got a problem is that when he ever pitches really good, he makes the run support. But today, you know, he gave up four runs, and, you know, that's not like it.
Yeah, Dimitri, appreciate the phone call, man. I would imagine you meant Jose Quintana. Carlos Quintana, probably a good player in his own right. Not sure what league he's in, but Jose, certainly a good one. Yeah, I thought the home run was a little weird, too. Three of them today, and yeah, I'm going to go ahead and go over to the old baseball reference page for Jose Quintana and get you a number or two. But three home runs today, one to Beckham, one to Francoeur, and one to Freddie Freeman, who, and I understand that, you know, the scouting report on all these guys are out. It's, with the exception of Freeman, guys who swing and miss quite a bit in Beckham and Francoeur. But if they plug one, they can plug one a long way. With Freeman, he's a very good player. Carlos Quintana played for the Boston Red Sox from 1988 to 1993. He skipped the 92 season. Okay hitter, 276, 350 on base, and a 362 slugging percentage. Guy who got on base and slapped it around a little bit. Mostly played first base and right field, did Carlos Quintana. Jose Quintana gave up the three home runs this afternoon. And if you look at the home run numbers, as I am right now, in 2016, with the three dingers he gave up today, he's allowed 11 so far. Last season, he allowed 16. Season before that, he allowed 10 in 2014. 2013 saw him give up 23 home runs, as he was really just, I mean, at that point, the 13 season, I think, is where you saw some flashes of the Jose Quintana that we see now, and the, White Sox could really have something on their hands. And then kind of the reversion to, you know, something that was a little bit, Carlos, when he's trying to figure some things out, I suppose. 14 and 15, obviously, are the kind of the come years for Jose Quintana. And here we are in 2016, where the first handful of starts, and I've read a little bit about the first handful from both Jose Quintana and Chris Sale, read a little bit by guys who are smarter than I am who watch this game. And the home run rate, the ability that both Jose and Chris had in suppressing home runs earlier on in the season, in the first nine-ish, seven-ish starts of the year, was pretty ridiculous. And you know, to a certain degree, it's kind of reverting to the norm. This ballpark has definitely heated up some. I was talking to a White Sox coach a little bit earlier today, talking about how, you know, he had seen more games at this park so far to this point in a season, with it being hot and the wind blowing out and swirling like it does here at U.S. Cellular Field, that have benefited hitters than he's seen in a while here in a couple of seasons here. So, the park does play a little small, and Jose giving up three this afternoon and Chris giving up a couple yesterday, you know, maybe that plays into it some. Hopefully both of those guys get the ball a little lower in the strike zone. That always helps. Get a few more ground balls. That doesn't hurt either. And take off for a second half of the season that largely mirrors the first month of this 2016. Family Sundays are presented by Coca-Cola at U.S. Cellular Field, and they feature tickets as low as $5 in the upper level and $15 in the lower level. There are special kid-focused activities throughout the ballpark on Coca-Cola Family Sundays. Plus, parking is available for only $10. So visit whitesox.com/Sundays to purchase your tickets today. Got the news coming up in just a minute or so. Plenty of White Sox Weekly to go. The extravaganza starts next on WLS AM 890.
The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball. It reminds us of all that once was good.
The only church that truly feeds the soul day in, day out is the Church of Baseball.
White Sox Weekly,
presented by Miller Lite,
the official weekly talk show covering all things White Sox baseball.
The latest news and views from players,
coaches,
and direct from the front office.
White Sox Weekly, on the proud new home for Chicago White Sox baseball. WLS.
Welcome back to White Sox Weekly. Sitting down for a couple of minutes with Todd Frazier, the White Sox representative at the Home Run Derby in San Diego. Todd, this will be Derby number two for you. What did you not know about the Derby last year going into it that you feel more comfortable about last year? You know what I mean? The surprises of going through the whole hoopla.
Yeah, nobody knew really what to expect. I remember Anthony Rizzo was the first one to go.
Yeah.
He was nervous Nelly, man. And I said, just go give it your best shot, bud. Don't worry about it. He struggled, actually. He was the first one to go. He struggled. Didn't know when to call the timeout in between, and I'm basically the only guy that's had experience with it that's in the field right now. So I have a slight advantage, but, there's a lot of big guns out there, man, and there's a lot of guys that can hit the ball far away. It's going to be a fun home run derby.
I mean, because guys can get on rolls. I mean, I don't know if you grew up watching the derby. Yeah. Some people watch that all-star break stuff. Some people are playing ball during that time. But, you know, you think about a guy like Josh Hamilton at Yankee Stadium or Bobby Abreu when he went nuts one season. I mean, you can get on rolls.
It's unbelievable. Like, the two that I can think of was Josh Hamilton for sure. That was probably my favorite one to watch. And then Mark McGwire at Fenway Park. Balls were just being launched. It's just a fun time. I think that's the highlight of the All-Star game, to be honest with you, nowadays. You're playing for home field advantage in the All-Star game, so guys are playing a little harder, and it's just a good experience for everybody. I relish over playing in the Home Run Derby. I love it, and I just enjoy that moment because, you know, guys, my first time doing it. It's first time hitting on a field. And not in a game when there's no backstop there, you know, and there's no net, there's nobody behind you, and just the fans, you know, yelling for you to hit a home run.
When you look back, you know, at home run derbies that you ended up watching, I know the 99 one you mentioned, you know, you think about Griffey with the backward hat, guys showing a little flair. Are there plans to have a little swagger out there? Don't give it all away. I'm not asking for the secrets.
No. This year, actually, it's fun. The one thing we can do, we can make the bat any color you want. So there's a new rule. You can make it bright pink, whatever you want. I'm not gonna have it pink, but it's basically gonna go with the colors of the jersey I'm wearing. So it's gonna be cool colors and kind of represent the Padres and Dave Winfield and Tony Gwynn who played there. So it'd be nice.
Who's throwing to you, and what's the strategy conversation like?
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna be the same strategy as always. My brother Charlie's gonna be doing it. We practice in the off season. Like I said, he won't want to give the secrets away. You never know who's listening. So, basically, he understands when I need a break, and, if I need one myself, we got certain things that we do, and, we take it seriously, but we have fun at the same time. So, like I said, if I'm going second, I already know how many home runs I'm going to need to hit, and hopefully it's like three or four so we can work these rounds real quick.
Charlie, older or younger than you?
He's older. He's 6 years older. He's 36. And then I have my other brother who's 33 right now, Jeff, who's my hype man right behind me, so it's good.
Everybody needs a hype man. Chris talked about it, too, that a trip to the All-Star break can kind of be –
you know, it's a work and vacation, but it's a lot more vacation than work, you know, that kind of idea.
I got
it. And you get the whole Frazier family there, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's good. And the other good part about it is we're playing in L.A. afterwards, so we can stay there and relax. You know, I got a couple things set up for the family, maybe a little SeaWorld and, you know, relax by the beach and just enjoy time with the family with baseball not on the mind.
Your favorite nickname for a home run?
Favorite nickname?
Because sometimes, and I've talked about this on White Sox Weekly a while, sometimes I stay up at night worried that I don't know if I like the word dinger or tater more. I mean, it keeps me up at night that I can't decide what it is. I don't know if you have a favorite.
I mean, there's all, I mean, I like the sayings of it. I like when Eric Young said Souvenir City.
Souvenir City. Oh,
you know, I just like, dinger's good. What was the other one? I just remember just the sayings, like, you have to have a rocket up your butt to catch that one, you know.
With, you need a visa?
Yeah,
you need a visa to go catch that?
Major League and Bob Uecker and all the sayings are what I like. And Stuart Scott was probably one of the best ones at that.
Oh, by all means. Yes. He was fantastic. Whatever. And Kenny Mayne had some good ones, too.
Oh, yes.
The bring me the finest meats and cheeses.
Jesus, in all the land. Yes, that I remember those like it was yesterday. Those are the best.
I used to watch SportsCenter like 7 or 8 times until I had it memorized.
That's crazy. You'd be watching, it's like, I saw this 3 times already, and it's like, the day's almost over, so it's good.
When you look back at, and I know you got 2 games left here, 2 against the Braves, and those are important games. Maybe you got a couple of dingers or taters on the way in. But when you look back at the first half, and it was, you know, ups and downs for the ball club, you know, some positives and negatives for you.
Yeah.
Where do you go ahead and draw the line? How will you take the break to assess, to forget, to move on in the second half? Where will you be at that point?
You know, right now we're 2 games over 500. I always assess it team-wise. You know, the old saying that my dad always told me, if you worry about the team stuff, the individual stuff will take care of itself.
Sure.
I think besides my average, my numbers have been there. I think I want to cut down a little bit on the strikeouts. Walks have been good. You know, and let's just start over. It starts with, you know, the first at bat, and then we move on from there. So, you know, basically the second half has started, even though we had the All-Star break. So I think right now my second half has been pretty good, you know, driving more runs in. And team-wise, let's keep on winning series. If we do that, there's no way we can't be in the playoffs.
Todd, appreciate you hanging out. Have fun in San Diego, man. That's going to be awesome.
Will do.
So that's Todd Frazier hanging out with us on White Sox Weekly. We were in the dugout a little bit, so you have to excuse some of the extraneous noise, but that's what happens in a ballpark. Really appreciate him coming on. He's looking forward to heading down to San Diego. I think you could hear that in his voice. He was talking about it, too. And I think for Todd, knowing that this first half is going to wrap up fairly soon and that he gets to go do something. We talked about this in the first half hour of White Sox Weekly before the pregame show started today. I think knowing that he gets to go do something that comes naturally to him but is still baseball, something he knows he's done before and has succeeded at, something that's pretty specific and yet also is an activity where you kind of get to turn the noggin off a little bit, I think that'll be good for him. And I think he knows that too, and I think maybe he's feeling that a little bit already. I would imagine that the decision of his to go ahead and compete in the Home Run Derby came a little farther back than we might know. And while the nod from the league, from the organization, from MLB to go compete in the Home Run Derby might not have come until later, you know, Todd making that decision and understanding that it's going to happen and stuff maybe helps to put things at ease. And who knows? Maybe that's just one less thing that he's got bouncing around in his head. He's been really effective for the White Sox in the last 9 games. Check these numbers out. Coming into today's ball game against the Braves, which he did well in too, a couple of big hits, a 2-run shot off Julio Teheran that helped push the White Sox offense forward today. In his last 9 before today, hitting .324 with 3 home runs. And the strikeouts are going down a little bit, too. You heard him talk some in the interview a couple of minutes ago about his looking to decrease the number of strikeouts. And there's no doubt about it. In the first half of the season, the strikeout rate was pretty high. And 77 strikeouts in 278 at-bats plays into striking out 28% of the time. That's a lot. Now, when you're hitting home runs at the rate Todd did, that's somewhat mitigated. But when the batting average is, you know, sitting around that 200 mark, and for Todd, what's been the issue is the pop-ups, I think. And it's been written down in a lot of different places. The pop-ups have been, you know, that soft contact that you can't necessarily, that you can't reach base on. And I think, you know, maybe finding his approach and settling into, you know, what he's looking for, being more confident at the plate and understanding how guys are going to throw at him has changed some in the last handful of ball games. Or perhaps it's even from the other side, knowing how he's going to attack pitchers and maybe taking a couple of pitches, putting them away, deciding to attack other offerings from guys, offerings that he knows he can handle too. Anyway, over the last 34 at-bats in that 9-game streak before today's ball game against the Braves, 6 strikeouts in 34 at-bats. That comes out to, you know, 18% of the time he's striking out. And while that's still, that's manageable is what it is. And more importantly, it's down 10% from his strikeout rate in the first 200 and, you know, call it 280 at-bats in the season. And that's a real good thing for Todd Frazier, because not only can he go into this All-Star break doing something, you know, like we talked about, doing something that's exciting, that's fun, that he knows he's good at the Home Run Derby, but also having that stretch, that sample size of knowing that you were able to check a couple of things off the list, knowing that you were able to get yourself back to being the guy that you know you can be, going into a couple of days off, that's a confidence booster. And I think, you know, as much as we look at the numbers in this game, and I think they're crucial, I think they're very important, but it is absolutely true that these guys are human beings and things pop up from time to time in a major league season that have no real bearing on your mechanics as a pitcher or maybe your stance as a batter or whatever it happens to be on the field. So, you know, hopefully all those things kind of coalesce and align for Todd as he heads to San Diego, and he can be a driving force in the offense in the second half for this White Sox team that's right there in the wild card race. And, you know, who knows, with a couple of weeks as funky as things have been in the AL Central so far this season, funky couple of weeks for any team here or there, and you get yourself right back into things. Speaking of the offense, and I think by and large, when the White Sox went through their struggle, what affected them most, in my opinion, and I think you heard this with Robin too, in my opinion, it had been the starters not being able to get deep into ball games, and how that, you know, kind of sets up dominoes to fall later on with the bullpen and usage and just guys being tapped on an everyday basis. But the offense had been somewhat underwhelming too. Jose Abreu has been a big part of that, and his first 2 months weren't good. He struggled mightily. Since June, Jose's starting to get back to being Jose Abreu, and that's a great sign for the White Sox and a big part of the reason that they've been able to kind of right the ship and level things out and get to where they're at record-wise. Jose, since June 1st, we talked about Todd Frazier's numbers in the last 9 games. Jose's numbers since June 1st, he's hitting .307 with an on-base of .352 and slugging .504. 5 home runs, 10 doubles in that stretch since June 1st. .502 was the slugging percentage for Jose Abreu last season, which, you know, wasn't quite his debut, wasn't his rookie season, but still a very good season for a slugger in the American League. .581 was the slugging percentage in 2014. So what the hope would be then is that hopefully the surge for Jose Abreu continues and you get something in the middle point of those two numbers, that .502 and that .581. That would absolutely go a great way in driving this White Sox offense here in the second half as it opens up in Anaheim to face the Angels and then heads to Seattle to take on the Mariners. Sox fans, Monday, July 25th at 7:10 p.m., your Chicago White Sox take on the Chicago Cubs. The first 10,000 fans will receive a drawstring bag presented by United Airlines. United, proud to fly the Chicago White Sox. Purchase tickets today by visiting whitesox.com or calling 866-SOX-GAME. Coming up next, we'll hang out with Chris Sale. He talked to the assembled media about his 5th consecutive All-Star Game appearance. That's next on White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890.
WLS AM 890. Passion, pride, tradition. The White Sox play here. WLS EM 890.
Welcome back to White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890. I'm Connor McKnight hanging out with you for a special extended edition of White Sox Weekly here after the White Sox and Braves this Saturday afternoon. One game left before the All-Star break. Todd Frazier's going to be there hitting in the Home Run Derby on Monday. Chris Sale pitching in this game. And I guess, you know, we're still kind of waiting to see, and we'll find out Monday, waiting to see whether Chris Sale starts this game for the American League All-Stars or if it's going to be something where he's coming out of the bullpen. Either way, he's decided to let it eat a little bit, or let the ball eat a little bit, I should say. I think that means that he wants to return, that he wants to throw in a little heat, get back to the velocities that he was throwing some maybe last year. You know, he's had this, he and Don Cooper, the White Sox pitching coach, call it this hybrid approach to his pitching style. Yesterday against the Braves, just not Sale's day, but you've seen in starts before where he looks like Chris Sale ought to look. You know, the results look just like the unhittable Chris Sale that we'd seen in years past, even if the approach and the way he got to those results look a little bit different. We'll get into that a little bit more after we listen to Chris Sale. He talked with media just a couple of days ago about going to the All-Star game for a fifth consecutive season, what that means to him. And really, when you talk to Chris Sale, he's a serious guy. And when it comes to baseball, he gets pretty intense about things. But I think in this interview with the press just a couple of days ago, you'll kind of hear the serious nature of Sale and also the joy that he has in playing this game and taking part of things that are notable and borderline, well, not necessarily historic, but definitely in the ebb and flow of his career and what it will be. He's got a lot left to go. What that means to him and what he knows it means to White Sox fans as well. So here you go. Take a listen. Chris Sale talking with reporters about going to the All-Star game for a fifth consecutive season. I think you'll note the honor he understands it is.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely, it's something that, you know, doesn't come around very often. You know, and I definitely appreciate this one as much as any. You know, there's nothing like the first one, and I truly believe that, but you know, I'm definitely very appreciative of the time and of what it is. You know, it's a great time for, you know, everybody around Major League Baseball to get together and, you know, play a game. It's always fun. You know, my family enjoys it, and I enjoy having my family there with me.
It seems strange to hear your name mentioned with Billy Pierce Mark Burley in terms of, you know, All-Star appearances out of the starting rotation for the White Sox.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, those are things that I don't really try not to pay too much attention to, but you know, I like to think I'm doing something right when I'm in the same sentence with those guys.
When you're in these rooms, how special is it? I know you talked about the first one, but how special is it, and does it ever change? Does it ever get old as you go through 3, 4, now 5 of them?
No, definitely not. I mean, the excitement's still there. I mean, the anticipation, everything leading up to it is all the same. You know, even on the playing field. So, like I said, it's a great time to spend with my family, and I've always enjoyed it. You know, bringing my son out there for Home Run Derby, having my dad there. You know, my father-in-law gets such a thrill out of it as well. So, you know, my sister's gonna be able to make it up this time again too. So it's, like I said, you know, it's almost like a little mini vacation with a couple of days of baseball mixed in. So, you know, I've always loved it.
What's your favorite memory, especially from the first game?
Oh man. It might sound kind of weird, but I love the Home Run Derby. I've always have. I'm a pitcher, so I guess, you know, we like to hit. So but that's something I've always, even when I was younger, I watched it, you know, with my dad, you know, and you know, just being able to spend that time with my father, you know, growing up, you know, playing baseball with him in the backyard, and you know, he put more time and effort than I did, honestly. So being able to spend that with him, and, you know, having my son there, he was a little bit younger, a little bit too young to understand what was going on, but still to have that moment with them is probably the best time.
We know how humble and respectful you are of the game and of the people involved, including the managers, but what would it mean for you if you were given that great honor of being the opening day pitcher, or the, you know, opening day?
The starter?
Starter for the American League.
I can do reporting, too, I guess.
better than me.
No, it would be awesome. I mean, that would be such a thrill. you know, I've always been, you know, been there and seen, you know, the start of the game and just everything that goes into it. And, you know, I would be, like I said, I would be thrilled to do that and be honored.
Disappointed that Jose didn't get picked too, since he's, you know, he's got pretty good numbers.
Yeah, that was the first thing I said when I saw that. I mean, if you compare him and I and you put our numbers back to back, you'd probably have a hard time figuring out who's who, honestly, other than, you know, wins and losses. But those are things that, you know, you really can't control. But there's not a doubt in my mind he'll be there one day. And I thought this year was a year. I mean, he's as good as anybody. And I think you know that too. I mean, I don't think I'm speaking from a biased standpoint when I say that. So, you know, there's not a doubt in my mind he'll be there one day for sure.
You're a leader of this team. You are the leader of this team because of time and what you've accomplished. That hand down from Burley and Canerico to you now, how much pride do you take representing Chicago, the White Sox, their fans, you know, going into this game?
I take a lot of pride. You know, this is more than a jersey. This is more than a name. You know, it's a like you said, it's a representation of a city and of a state and of a fan base. You know, it's crazy for me to think that I'm here now doing this, but especially, you know, looking back on some memories of when I first got here. But you know, it's something that I take pride in. I respect it, and I know what it involves and what it entails, and you know, I look forward to hopefully meeting those standards.
So the record is 5 strikeouts in a row in an All-Star game. We know you've gone away from that perspective, but would it be cool? I mean, it's an All-Star game. Would it be cool just to go and strike out a bunch of guys in that game?
Yeah, I'm not going to reserve anything when I get in there. I fully intend on letting it eat when I get out there. So whenever that is, so. It's hard not to. I mean, you got a packed crowd. You're facing the best, so you better bring it.
Any thoughts on facing pretty much the entire Cub lineup if you do start?
Yeah, I know. That'd be a little weird, especially, you know, facing them in the next couple weeks after that. But, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, it is what it is. You can't handle that, but it'll be fun.
Chris, what was that like last year?
I still enjoyed it. I did. You know, pitching in the game makes it a little bit more fun. I think participating makes it kind of the full circle. But don't think I didn't have just as good a time as any that last year and with all that. Yeah, I got to watch it. You know, I got to almost be a little bit of a fan with a little bit better seat. it didn't take anything away from it. I do think that you get more of a full experience when you participate in it, but I still enjoyed myself.
Robin said that the guys that go, especially for the first time, they kind of come away from it with sort of a different, just maybe a feeling about themselves, like, you know, they kind of drive along amongst the elite in baseball.
Yeah, I mean, in this game, confidence and mindset has a lot more to do with it than ability sometimes. So, and you can have a lot of people tell you how good you are, but if you don't believe it, it's kind of a wash. So I think, you know, maybe sometimes guys go in there and they start, you know, believing in themselves. You know, a lot of people can believe in you, but when you start believing in yourself and what you do and you have that confidence going forward, I think that's what makes you a better player.
There's a chance it'll be an all-Chicago starters for that. Arrieta's got a chance to maybe start for them. How cool would that be for Chicago and the rivalry and everything all about that?
Yeah, it'd be great for the city. It'd be great for the town. Just like if we, you know, got to the end together, it'd be crazy. You know, anything that can promote, you know, something positive for this city, I think I'm in for it. You know, even if, you know, more of their guys are there, you know, they're representing more of it, whatever, but it's still good for the city of Chicago, and you know, just make it a little bit more fun for people in the Midwest to watch the All-Star game.
And that would be pretty cool, regardless of what team you root for, but to see all of Chicago kind of represented in San Diego for the All-Star game. Chris seems excited for it. He's got as good a chance as anybody to start the game on Tuesday night. And Jake Arrieta probably has as good a chance as anybody in the National League to start on that side of the roster as well. Sox fans, you can join us as the White Sox take on the Detroit Tigers Saturday, July 23rd at 6:10 p.m. The first 20,000 fans will receive a 1976 Navy Blue throwback jersey presented by Xfinity. Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience TV. You can purchase tickets today by visiting WhiteSox.com or by calling 866-SOX-GAME. You know, you heard Sale in that interview talk about his memories of the Home Run Derby, and I think by and large, I don't know if it's a generational thing or not, but, you know, being around, well, a little bit older than some of the players on this roster, maybe being around that age, I have fond memories of the Home Run Derby. I don't know that everyone necessarily does, but I remember watching it wide-eyed, thinking, my God, how can humans do this and hit as many as these and hit them as far as this? Pretty incredible stuff. And Sale seems to be the same way. Hopefully this All-Star game, we get more memories coming up. One thing that's been big for the White Sox as they've returned to the level of play that we knew was in them has been Tim Anderson at the top of this lineup and batting in front of Adam Eaton and kind of the dual threat that those guys pose, whether it be with the speed, the on-base percentage, or the average, and a little bit of the pop that Tim Anderson and Adam Eaton have shown of late as well. We thought we'd spend a couple of minutes talking with AAA manager Julio Viñas on White Sox Weekly here. He'd seen Tim Anderson come up through the minors in a pretty big way, had him in AA, had him in AAA. Also, we'll get caught up with Julio as to where Justin Morneau's rehab is and a couple other names at AAA that you might see this season, maybe when rosters expand, but could play as a part of the White Sox organization here at the big league level in 2017 as well. That's coming up next, our interview with AAA manager Julio Viñas on White Sox Weekly, WLS AM 890.
WLS AM 890. White Sox baseball. Experience it here. WLS AM 890.
Back to White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890 and the Sox Radio Network. I'm Connor McKnight, and with me, AAA manager Julio Viñas, who's got an interesting season going on. Your first in AAA. Congratulations on the new gig. I know it was a AA championship, if I'm not mistaken, in 2013 for you in the White Sox organization. How has how's AAA been treating you?
It's been great. You know, it's a great experience for me. You know, we have older guys here. Like, you know, right now we're rehabbing Justin Morneau, and it's been a fun year. I mean, great bunch of guys. You know, they really play hard, and they don't give up. You know, it's a real special team. I'm real happy to be part of it.
What's the biggest difference, Julio, between going from a manager at AA to a manager at AAA? I mean, obviously the pool of talent is a little different. You know, you get some of those older guys who are, you know, shuttling back and forth between AAA and the big leagues. How do you manage with a roster that can seemingly be so in flux, especially like the Knights have been so far this year?
Well, yeah, it's tough. The one good thing is our farm system. You know, our farm director and Buddy Bell do a great job, you know, making sure we have enough players. So, you know, once a move is made, they're bringing another player right over. So, you know, it's not like you're ever caught really shorthanded. So they do a fantastic job with that. That's just the biggest thing is, you know, one day you'll have a player and then he'll go to the big leagues, which is great. That's what we want. And, you know, they have a new player the next day. So, you know, it's like I said, we have a really good bunch of guys. And the second new player comes in, he feels that, you know, he feels welcome to.
Talk with Julio Viñas, the manager of the AAA Charlotte Knights in the White Sox organization. Julio, I'm wondering if you can give us a little bit of perspective on Tim Anderson. He has been absolutely raking at the major league level, at the top of the White Sox lineup. And I, you know, looking back through some of the numbers, Tim likes to swing the bat. There's no doubt about it. But looking back through some of the numbers, you know, he had struggled each time he moved up to a new level of play. And then after a little bit, really locked in and became the Tim Anderson that we're seeing now. I wonder if you can walk us through, you know, his start in the AAA season this year, and then when he really started getting on a roll, and I think hitting in multi-hit games, and I think he had something like a 15-16 game hit streak too.
Yeah, that's correct. He's a special player. I mean, he's got God-given ability. You know, he doesn't have the experience that you can compare to other players that have been playing since they were much younger. You know, he started at an older age. He was in high school already when he started really getting into it. And to see the progress and as quick as he has made it, it's incredible. I mean, he just makes adjustments. Early in the season in AAA, you know, he was scuffling a little bit. But you would never know it. You would talk to him or see him. He was the same person day in and day out. You know, that really makes for a special player right there because, you know, he doesn't let his emotions get in the way of him going out and playing every day. And, you know, he makes his adjustments, which is what he did in AAA, and he just took off. I remember exactly when it was. It was when we were in Norfolk. He had a great game and actually then had a great series and took off right from there. And, you know, he's never looked back. And the same thing he did in Double A. You know, he didn't get off to the best of starts, but he made his adjustments and really took off. So, I mean, he's a special player. He does a really good job.
You know, we talked with Buddy Bell on the show a couple of times, and I think part of the discussion we had with him maybe last time around was that development for players doesn't go, you know, on a straight line. It's not just one streak all the way up through to the Double A and into Triple A. Do you find that, you know, especially when you've got a guy like Tim, not necessarily speaking just about him, but when you've got a guy like Tim who you know is going to be at that big league level sooner rather than later, how is it that you know, manage guys through some of the slumps, some of the setbacks that happen on their way up to the bigs? I got to imagine that, you know, wanting to win a game that day and wanting to make sure that player's development stays, you know, on track and in focus is kind of difficult to manage at times, no?
I just try and stay positive. And you know what, all of our staff that we have here are great. They're very positive with them as well. Even if they did strike out, you always try and look for the one positive that was in the at-bat. They might have just missed the pitch. You know, something had to have been positive in that at-bat, and that's what we're going to thrive on, that one positive thing there was in that at-bat. And I really think that helps the player a lot. You know, there's so much, you know, you could go 3-for-10 here and be one of the best players in the big leagues. You know, you're hitting 300. So there's a lot of failure already involved in this game, so we just try and look for all the positives. Even when they do fail, there's got to be a positive out of it. That's what we try and thrive on. And I really think it makes a difference for the player.
Talk with Julio Vinas here, the manager of the AAA Charlotte Knights. You've got an AL MVP on the roster. That happen often for you?
No, it doesn't happen often, no. But he's been great. You hear him talking to the young kids. You know, Justin's been really good, and he's such a hard worker. I mean, it's great for these kids to see, you know, like you said, an MVP playing with us and working as hard as he does. So he's been really good to have.
Yeah, I was in the Carolina League way back in the day as just an intern, you know, looking at things. And Tom Glavine made a rehab start for the Pelicans when I was there. And there was, I mean, just a huge to-do. It was massive. The ballpark was packed. It was a thing. Tom was only there for one day, you know, just making his start through the organization, getting back to the bigs. But with Justin, I have to imagine it's a little bit of a different sense. He's an everyday player for you for at least a little while. What's the conversation been like with you and him? I mean, I imagine you don't need to, you know, look at him and go, yeah, that slider on the outer half, Justin, you really got to lay off of that. He knows what he's out there to do, right?
Well, that's what's funny. You know, he actually does come and ask you, did you have that as a good pitch? Was it the right height?
Huh.
I mean, he's always asking the right questions, and he wants all the input that he can get, you know, and that's what good players do. You know, they want all the information that they can possibly have. You know, that's what he does. He asks a lot of questions, and you know, he's going through basically spring training for himself right now. That's what these bats are for him. And he's asking the right questions because he wants to make sure that, you know, his eye and his swing is where it needs to be at.
Tripled off the wall last night. Probably missed a home run by about 2.5, maybe 4 feet, something like that. Looked fast. Coming around to third base, too. What's the outlook for him positionally? Are you guys going to move him into first base and into DH as much as possible, or where will he play most in the next handful of days?
Yeah, it's going to be DH, and mostly DH and some first base. He's still going through a little bit of soreness, which is normal for him for that injury right now. So we're just going to wait and make sure he's really feeling much better with that before we put him at first base. So right now it's just going to be DH and you know, he'll let us know when he's ready to play first base.
I know a lot of guys, a lot of White Sox fans are looking at a kid in Nicky Delmonico who's on the usually playing first base, and I think still on the 7-day disabled list, if I'm not mistaken, Julio. I want to make sure I got that right.
Yeah, that's correct. He's on a DL.
He's had a good start to this season, though. I wonder if you can give Sox fans a little bit of a thumbnail on Nicky's start to the year and when they can expect him back in the lineup for the Knights.
Well, Nicky, yeah, he's always a bat. He can really hit, and he started out really hot for us, and then he had that injury. So right now he's in the process of still getting, you know, good stretching in without pain and stuff like that before he can actually start throwing on that shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he's too far away. He's doing a lot better. He's feeding better, and he's got a lot more mobility in that arm. So hopefully he'll be back real soon.
What are his next things on the checklist in order to proceed to his next level of development, you think?
Well, just right now it's just having quality at-bats consistently. You know, he'll have a couple of quality at-bats, and then like a young hitter, you know, will chase out of the zone a little bit. Once he learns to just control that, I think he's going to really take off because he's got a nice one. You know, it's compact, short, stays through the ball really well, and you know, makes a lot of contact. So I think once he learns just to, you know, stay off some of those pitches that are borderline and not chase as much, I think he's going to really show us that he's ready.
Wanted to ask about Anthony Rinaldo, too, the guy the White Sox picked up from the Rangers or toward the early part of the season. He'd been working out of the pen for the Rangers mostly. Big, tall guy, a lot of long levers, some good heat, too. And I know he's working out of the rotation more. How is his transition from having been a pensman early on in the season to the rotation going?
Well, so far, he's thrown really well for us.
Yeah.
You know, he generates good downward plane. Hitters, for the most part, don't get good swings at his fastball, you know, and that's a good attribute to have when you have, you know, good angle like he does, and you get a lot of swing and misses with his fastball. He's got a nice breaking ball, too, and he mixes in his changeup, so you know, he's done a really good job for us since he's been here.
So, Julio, let me ask you this as we let you go. When you get a chance to give the phone call to a guy or let a guy know, bring him into the office and tell him he's heading up to the bigs and get a play in the show, is there something special that you guys do in Charlotte? Is it a case-by-case basis? And I have to imagine that's a pretty singular feeling for you as a manager, letting a guy know that he's moving up.
Yeah, it's definitely case-by-case, and it's a fantastic feeling for us. There's nothing that brings us, you know, makes us happier. Us as a staff here, you know, the whole staff usually comes in to let it put it all in. It's just all the hard work that we all put in together and, you know, all the help that we feel we're involved in with their development to finally have them reach their goal or their dream. So it's a wonderful feeling for us. It gives us a lot of fulfillment.
That's awesome. That's absolutely awesome. Julio, appreciate you stopping by. Really appreciate the conversation. Best of luck with the second half of the season.
Great. Thanks for having me.
That's Julio Viñas. He's the manager of the AAA Charlotte Knights in the White Sox organization. Keep it right here. We'll be back with more. You got White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890.
WLS AM 890.
Tomorrow. Sox versus Braves. First pitch at 1:10.
On your home for White Sox baseball. WLS AM 890.
Welcome back to White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890. I'm Connor McKnight. Our final White Sox Weekly before we head to the All-Star break. Rachel Brady, our very own reporter, is going to be out there at the Home Run Derby covering everything Todd Frazier does, his every move. She's also going to be at the All-Star game, of course, covering Chris Sale and all of the All-Star festivities. You can follow her on Twitter, and this is probably the best way to do it. She's going to be doing a ton of stuff out there, Facebook living things on the WLS AM page, tweeting stuff from WLS, and tweeting stuff from her own account. You can follow her at Rachel Brady 611 is the Twitter handle. That's probably the most central hub that you can use for all of WLS's coverage of the White Sox at the All-Star Game in San Diego. At Rachel Brady 611 is the Twitter handle there. We've got a conversation with Robin Ventura coming up here in just a minute or so. I want to tell you first that MLB.TV Premium is the number one live streaming sports service, and it delivers everything you've come to expect
and more. You watch every out-of-market game live in HD on over 400 supported devices. It includes a free subscription to At-Bat Premium. It's the number one app for live baseball. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details. So you got yourself all posted up on that. I use the MLB.tv app all the time. It's a constant in my life. So we talked to Robin Ventura down in the dugout before this game against the Braves this afternoon. And Robin was very kind with the time. Nice to talk with him. A good chat. And what I wanted to do was essentially just set up a review of the first half, have him take us through a couple of things. And certainly the conversation kind of went into some other things about, you know, where guys are at in their individual seasons and how it's all kind of meshed together. And you heard Robin, you know, talk in the pregame show earlier today about where this rotation is going to set up with Carlos Rodon on the disabled list and hopefully just missing the one start after slipping up the dugout steps and spraining that left wrist of his would be a great scenario if the White Sox only have to miss one start from him instead of having to go to a spot start for a time two or perhaps even three through the rotation. But it started out with Robin talking, going all the way back to spring training and trying to revisit the feeling that he had, that this 25-man roster had, which has changed quite a bit since they broke camp from Arizona. The feeling that it had coming into the regular season. Remember heading out to Oakland all those months ago and the 23-10 run, the 10-26 run. It was all part of where the White Sox or how the White Sox got to where they are. So really just kind of stepping back to the very beginning and working things through. We talked some about Todd Frazier's season and Jose Abreu's season, some of the unexpected things that you've seen from this White Sox team as well, and of course the dominance of Chris Sale and Jose Quintana at times during this year. So here he is, Robin Ventura, really walking back all the way to breaking camp from Arizona and heading out to Oakland to start the year. Here's how we started with Robin today.
No, you know, when you leave spring training, you don't know exactly how you're going to start. But, that, you know, it was a group that you could tell it got along, it clicked early in spring training. And, you know, you had a good feeling leaving spring training. And we got hot. We were hot in April. Played well. Pitching was great. Bullpen was fantastic. You know, the offense wasn't necessarily hot, but they were, you know, knocking in the run when you needed it, coming back late, you know, playing good defense. It went from that to where we couldn't really do anything right. And, you know, the roller coaster was the first half. You at least level it off, and now you're starting to play a little bit better baseball. I think our offense is, you know, starting to pick it up. But really, the feeling is you're playing better baseball all the way around.
Looking back at the middle part of that season, we tried to pinpoint a reason why things kind of leveled off some, just to try and, you know, I think we do that as fans to try and figure out and make sure that we're looking at the same thing you guys are, because that's where it's where you'll want to be. I kind of pointed at starting pitchers going a little bit longer in games and saving that bullpen. I don't know if you look at it the same way or if it was kind of a confluence of things, but that seemed to be a big point to me.
Well, there's part of that. I think when we started out, we had so many games on the road that you're having to, and you're winning them, that you're pitching that extra inning.
Oh,
you're using more guys. You're trying to, you know, maybe take the load off of them at one point. But, you know, I think then we ran into a rut where I think, you know, starting pitching, you're giving up a few runs. They're in late. You had a couple injuries. I think really when Petrushka went down, that was really one that you look at, and it's an important role. I mean, you know, right in that 6th, 7th, it's a power sinker. You know, that part, you get some injuries to your bullpen, and it just changes things. You know, the guys, their roles and how they're going to be used, and, you know, when you bring them in to stabilize the game and get through it to, you know, bridge that gap to, you know, Jonesy and Robbie became a lot different.
Looking through the offense, too, Brett Laurie's been an interesting guy to me. The first couple of weeks of the season, he's on pace to triple his career walk total. Now he's on pace to hit more doubles than a White Sox second baseman has ever hit, something like 45. He's been kind of different players, too, offensively, at least when you look at just the sheer production numbers. How does he kind of fuel the offense, in your estimation? And was there ever a thought, you know, that Tim Anderson's up, it kind of changes the
dynamic some, but ever thought to move him up in the lineup a little higher than he, where he's at in the sixth spot?
Yeah, I mean, you think that, and with Timmy here, it's hard to have both those guys that aren't going to walk that
sure.
much.
Sure.
And Brett, you kind of want him. I mean, he was good for us in the middle of that lineup. It's that area where you want a guy that can drive in some runs and you know, put something in the gap. And, you know, he's been able to do that. So you really don't mess with it. Even in the last couple of years, we've messed around with putting guys in the two-hole. And maybe they're hitting good in the middle, and you move them into the two-hole, and it just changes for them. And, you know, even right now, I think, you know, where Eaton's at, you know, he's bunting more. You know, for one reason or another, I think he's kind of taken on himself that becomes more of a part of his game now that Timmy's in front of him. He's got some speed there to play with. And, you know, I think the mindset becomes different for some guys.
With Adam in that two spot, I've noticed it too, a lot of the bunting, and it's gotten guys over and it's gotten him on a lot too. Is there a point conceivably where, you know, situationally in a game where you got to look at him and go, we need you swinging away here, like a reverse handcuff kind of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, even last night, you know, you're looking at the conditions and who you're facing, like, you know, you're probably better off swinging.
Yeah.
You know, I think if you're seeing that the ball's flying out of the ballpark, just get it in the air and you have a pretty good chance of something, you know, either going out of here or going off the wall. And he did hit a homer later, but,
sure.
You know, you just have to explain him sometimes. You're probably more dangerous swinging than you are bunting.
How's Jose?
He's good. He's good. He struggled there for a while. And, you know, physically he can get a little beat up.
Yeah.
I think that's always going to be part of having to have the maintenance of him and the management of him is he gets beat up, and he's a big guy and he lumbers around, but you know, right now it just seems like his hands are working better, and he just looks better. He's playing a little bit better defense, and you know, he's good right now. This break's probably going to be a good thing for him.
We talked with Todd Frazier a little bit earlier today, and you'll hear it later on the show on White Sox Weekly, but he seems pretty jacked to go out and hit in the home run derby. It could be a little bit of a, I don't know, it seems like it'll be nice to go to play some baseball, but kind of turn off the noodle a little bit too.
Yeah, well, he's not going there to get a hit. He's trying to hit it as far as he can. And you know, I think for his personality, it's just, you know, fits right into it. And you know, if he was hitting 330, you would probably sit there and you know, have some questions as far as, is it going to mess with his swing?
Sure.
But, you know, where he's at right now, this might get him right back where he needs to be. And, you know, he can go out and have a little fun. I know he enjoys doing it. He has his brother thrown to him. So this is just right in his wheelhouse of, you know, fun factor that you should do.
Robin, appreciate the time as always.
All right. I appreciate it.
That's the manager, Robin Ventura, hanging out with us on White Sox Weekly. Talked to him in the dugout before this afternoon's ball game between the Braves and White Sox. Thanks so much to him for sitting down for a couple of minutes. You heard him talk. I hope you enjoyed it. We, you know, wanted to do kind of a reflective of the first half of the season, and then got a little more individual with a few guys in there. You know, guys like Jose and guys like Todd, a little bit of Sale, too, about the seasons that they've had and kind of what the future holds for them as well. And I think it's pretty clear that the White Sox are, and we talked about this at the top of the show and in the middle too, that the White Sox are right about in the mode, in the gear, maybe is a better way of putting it, that they wanted to be in at the break. They are definitely in the thick of playoff conversations. They are positioned in the wild card where you'd like to be. And although the Indians kind of went on a run here in late June and into early July, and have put themselves in a situation where there's some separation between themselves and the second, third, and fourth team in the AL Central, who knows what happens? You know, we've seen teams fall from grace before, and we've seen teams like the Indians, like the White Sox early on in the year, go on terrific tears to get themselves right back into a race. So hopefully the White Sox can do that. I think in the second half, you can look for a couple of things. First and foremost is to see who ends up going ahead and taking that spot start for Carlos Rodon in Seattle. I don't know whether it's going to be someone who
could theoretically stay on the major league roster. There has been a lot of conversation about Carson Fulmer, one of the top arms in this White Sox organization, perhaps helping out in a bullpen role. I think it'd be interesting to see if he gets a nod for a start and then maybe move to the bullpen after that. He only has so many innings in really his first professional season this year, but you know, we'll see if that's a situation the White Sox could find themselves in. I think adding is definitely what the White Sox are going to be looking to do in this second half of the season, whether that's a bullpen arm, a third catcher to help out depth-wise as Alex Avila returns from his DL stint, and you can't have too many catchers. I mean, my God, too many get hurt, and you're looking at a situation you can't get yourself out of. That could be a depth spot, too. And maybe a bat, whether it's Justin Morneau coming up from the minor leagues to make an impact or whether it's someone who can help out with a platoon advantage, one of really any positions, I suppose. I mean, right field's fairly locked down with Adam Eaton, and left field with Melky, too. But there are a couple of spots on this team you could see maybe a platoon player worked in to help take advantage of certain matchups. That's going to do it for us here on White Sox Weekly. Thank you so much for listening and calling and texting. We will check back in with you and kind of go through what we saw during the All-Star break next Saturday. We'll get, of course, the game Friday against the Angels. Want to say thanks so much to our guests this afternoon. Thanks to Todd Frazier. Thanks to Chris Sale. Thanks to Robin Ventura. Thanks to Julio Vinas, the AAA manager down there in Charlotte, for hanging out with us here on White Sox Weekly. Thanks to our executive producer, Dave Zaslowski. And thank you so much to our board operator, Jonathan Bregman, for all the work he does on this broadcast and, of course, throughout the 9 innings of baseball that we bring to you nearly every day. I'm going to be off tomorrow. My All-Star break starts one day early. You will have Steve Cashel, the experienced and professional voice of the Bulls pre- and post-game show, taking care of you on Sunday as the White Sox take on the Braves in the final game before the All-Star break. Enjoy the break. We'll be back with more White Sox baseball on Friday. Thanks for listening to White Sox Weekly. I'm Connor McKnight on WLS AM 890.
You've been listening to White Sox Weekly, presented by Miller Lite, the official weekly talk show covering all things White Sox baseball. Listen every week for White Sox Weekly and listen to White Sox baseball right here. WLS AM 890.
WLS FM HD2. Chicago.
The proud home of the Chicago White Sox.
Chicago.
Cumulus Station.